This is 90.9 WBUR in Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. Today is the 100th anniversary of a deal that sports fans widely regard as the worst of all time. The day after Christmas in 1919, the Boston Red Sox sold Babe Ruth's playing rights to the Yankees. What happened next? Well, Ruth hit record numbers of home runs and led New York to four World Series titles. And meanwhile, Boston suffered without a championship for more than 80 years under the curse of the Bambino. In hindsight, we know the Sox made a horrible mistake, but WBR's Callum Borchers reports at the time, the move appeared to make some sense.
At the scene of the crime, Fenway Park, a sad reminder hangs on a wall.
This was the front page of the Boston Daily Globe.
Red Sox historian Gordon Eads reads from a giant newspaper framed in his office.
Red Sox sell Ruth for $100,000 cash. I love the deck headline underneath it. Demon slugger of American League, who made 29 home runs last season, goes to New York.
There were two editions of the Globe back then. For the evening paper, a reporter collected fans' reactions. Some hated the deal, but others applauded Sox owner Harry Frazee. I asked colleagues to read a sampling of the comments.
I agree with Frazee. He knows his business best.
Star ballplayers do not make a winning team.
I admire Frazee's willingness to incur the enmity of fans, at least temporarily, in his efforts to produce a happy, winning team.
How could the Sox and these fans have been so wrong? Ruth was already a great player and just entering his prime.
But he was a handful.
This is Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe sports columnist and author of The Curse of the Bambino.
I mean, by all accounts, he's kind of a booze bag and he's a party guy and he's definitely a carouser. There's a car accident downtown, and the woman in the car is not Mrs. Ruth. He's doing these barnstorming tours off on his own. He's not at spring training on time. He's gaining weight, just kind of a reckless guy.
Okay, so Babe Ruth wasn't exactly a model employee, but those home runs!
Here's a pitch. It's a slow curve low, and the Babe swings. It's a long one going out toward right center. Stengel's backing up against the wall. He can't get it. It's in there!
That's Ruth knocking one out of the park for the Yankees. Maybe the Red Sox could have worked with him on some kind of behavioral improvement plan, says Anissa Zabriskie. She's a board member at the Massachusetts chapter of the Society for Human Resource Management. But even if Ruth had cleaned up his act, Zabriskie isn't convinced he would have been as good for the Red Sox as he became for the Yankees. She says in sports, as in business, some employees just need a change.
Sometimes, you know, they're moved to a different role, different position, different company culture, where those leaders can get different results from them.
Ruth had mostly been a pitcher in Boston. The Yankees converted him to a full-time outfielder, which gave him more chances to hit. Perhaps the Sox should have had the wisdom to do the same, but consider this. Some of those home runs Ruth hit in New York wouldn't have cleared the fence in Fenway Park's deeper outfield. And Shaughnessy points out that something else happened just as Ruth left Boston.
The end of the dead ball era, the change in the baseball, the fact that the owners figured out, hey, fans like it when the ball goes over the fence. This is exciting.
In the dead ball era, pitchers could deaden the ball with spit or mud, making it hard to hit very far. The practice was mostly banned between Ruth's final season in Boston and his first in New York. The material inside the ball changed, too. Some players nicknamed the new version Rabbit Ball because they thought it was livelier. In short, the game changed, says Ruth biographer Jane Levy.
Up until then, baseball was run by micromanagers in the dugout who moved men around the bases like chess pieces. Babe Ruth looks at this and goes, why should I do that when with one swing of my bat, I can end this?
Ruth's home run total jumped from 29 with the Sox in 1919 to 54 with the Yankees in 1920. In the Sox defense, it would have been hard to predict when they let Ruth go that multiple factors would combine to turn him into arguably the best baseball player ever. By now, the curse has been broken four times over, and the Sox have learned their lesson. Right?
What are you asking me for? Do you want me to have sleepless nights here in the next fortnight or two?
Back in Gordon Eads' office, the Red Sox historian considers the frightening possibility that history could repeat itself a century later.
We have a generational player in Mookie Betts who's already been an MVP runner-up once and annually an All-Star and just entering the prime of his career. God forbid if the guy ended up in pinstripes.
Some baseball experts think he could end up in Yankee pinstripes through free agency or even a trade. Betts is under contract with the Red Sox for just one more season. If he does go to New York, Sox fans just have to hope the 100th anniversary of his departure isn't as full of regret as Babe Ruth's. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Callum Borchers.